Be advised, the Digital Graveyard contains the following: adult language, bad advice, and spoilers. There will be no further warnings. Consider yourself disclaimed.
Zane to the Max doesn't even do it justice, because this is an entirely serious episode of the Digital Graveyard. Or probably not. We'll probably go back to the normal stuff pretty soon. I'm Graves, one half of the Digital Graveyard. Eric Graves, that is. With me, as always, is my other half.
You got Bobby Digital here. We are recording on Monday, November 23rd. Hopefully this will be out to you guys by Thanksgiving here. But as Eric just referenced, Animaniacs are back.
Like, oh, man. Is that what you want to start the show off with, talking about? Because, I mean, I did that because I definitely knew I was going to bring it up. But
have you been watching it?
I have, yeah. I feel foolish asking you and being asked if we've watched Animaniacs. Of course we've been watching Animaniacs. We haven't spoken in a week. Of course we've been using that time to watch Animaniacs. Duh.
Yeah. I think I only have, like, one episode left, but I love it. I think it's great.
I don't know how many I have left. You know, it's I don't remember it being so political, but I was a kid. So I'm sure I feel like it probably was, and it just went over my head. But I get why so many people are having a cow about this, you know? Because man, they come out the gate swinging with this like biting satirical humor. It's so witty. It's so smart. Like, I get it if you don't have the memory of Animaniacs being super political. Like, but you have to admit that this is brilliantly written. It's so clever.
Yeah.
I can't believe some of the jokes they make. I'm like, whoa, like Family Guy wouldn't go there. You know what I mean? But they've done this in such a family friendly way. The episode with the right to bear buns.
Oh my god, that one was so dumb. But I was thinking of like the Odysseus bit, and just how at the very end of that they're like, or a damn
it. It's not even. They don't even hide it. That's clearly the president they're making fun of.
it's so politically charged, man. Dude. And I think Animaniacs always had a level of, like, you know, political satire. I think now they're kind of being like, the majority of the people watching this are going to be like grown-ups like us, who, let's face it, are a little more politically, like, involved nowadays.
It's not... on public broadcast. It's on a specialty streaming network, so you have the choice to just not watch it. I really feel like Steven Spielberg and everybody involved just were like, fuck it. Like, Steven Spielberg has all the money in the world. He doesn't give a shit if you're offended by his cartoon dog panda bears or whatever the fuck they are. Like, Steven Spielberg don't give a fuck, man. He'll do whatever. I'm trying to think of any specific episodes. I'm sure I'll come up with a few. But Bobby, do you have any highlights that you've been watching so far?
From Animaniacs or just in general?
Yeah.
From Animaniacs, I really love that there's a couple episodes where Wacko references that, like, he's kind of jealous of that Yakko's Nations of the World song is, like, more popular than his state song.
They keep making references to those two songs over and over again. He's like, what are you going to do, Yakko? Sing another song about the nations of the world? Like, I love it. It's like, I could sing my state's capital song again. Like,
Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Indianapolis. Ah, it's all the same.
I hate all the state capitals. I'm a monster. I love it. Dude, I genuinely... I know I'm not getting the same level of enjoyment I did as a child, because I can't. You can't go home. But I am. I wish I had. I don't wish I had children just for this. I wish I had more friends with children so that they could show this to their kids, and then I could get their children's reaction to the show. Because I would really love to know if kids still love this kind of humor. Because it's not. It's not like the jokes are modernized, obviously, but the humor isn't. The humor is the same thing. I, like last episode we uploaded, I kind of made a reference that our shows growing up with were bad, but I didn't mean that. I meant that our shows had less kind of like effort to build these canonical story driven worlds. Animaniacs still doesn't have this big canonical story driven world, man. This is just wacky sketch comedy in the era of like Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies almost, you know? And I forgot how much I still enjoy that. In no way is it lesser than Adventure Time and Over the Garden Wall and Steven Universe and shows like that. I just feel like it's kind of fallen out of fashion, but I needed this to remind me how purely joyful it can be, really. Like three unrelated skits in an episode is beautiful in its simplicity. I love it. I really love it.
Yeah, and with even before the show actually came out, they right away were like, we're also rebooting Tiny Toons, guys. So like,
oh yeah, that's confirmed.
Yeah, that's been confirmed. That's happening. They've shown the new designs for Babs and Buster, and they actually cameoed in Animaniacs.
Oh yeah, they totally do. That cartoons with the right to vote song.
Yep, that even had Lunatics Unleashed. Who does they anyone did. Remember Lunatics
I was
Unleashed?
Dying. I was dying. I died laughing. Whatever these guys are, loved it. It's great. And Pinky and the Brain is exactly how I remember it. I just, like, even as a kid, I knew so many jokes in Pinky and the Brain were going over my head. I just could tell it was drenched in satire.
I'm sorry, dude.
I don't
care for the Pinky and the Brain stuff, and I don't think I ever did.
Really? Oh, so you just were never a fan of Pinky and the Brain. I was a huge fan of Pinky and the Brain as a kid. I totally was. I loved just everything about it. Two lab rats that are trying to take over the world. One's a genius, the other's insane, but neither of them are particularly good at anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. I'm really glad they brought it back. I do wish they, because they referenced this in an episode, why the other co-stars or minor characters haven't come back to the show.
Yeah, because Chicken Boo was like killing them all.
Yes, killing them all. It turns out though he was just putting them behind the wall. You know how cartoons do. You don't actually cut their heads off and mount them on the wall, aka taxidermy.
You wore a disguise to look like other guys.
Where you put them there, and they're just staying still for no apparent reason. So they did at the end of the episode reveal that they're not in fact all dead, but I haven't seen them in any of the sketches, and they have like other little like minor character sketches too that are unrelated to anything, but they're completely different, like new IPs. So I just kind of wonder, like, maybe Hulu couldn't get like the character rights to them or something. Or maybe the writing staff just wanted to, you know, leave that behind. Who knows?
I think it is a mixture of, the writing staff don't really want to, like, only have the old characters. And also, I feel like some of those characters are a little outdated. Like,
we brought this up in the show, like, the Goodfellas. Like, who's still seeing? Not that the show hasn't made a billion references to movies that nobody's seen in like, 40 years. But, yeah, like, I don't know how many people are going to get the Goodfellas reference. It hasn't.
No.
After The Sopranos, after the, poor connection. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
We are recording this over Skype. It is worth mentioning. So, if we do break up, I apologize. This is recording a podcast in the age of COVID. This is what we do, you know. Looks like we're back.
And I assure you that if we break up, it's because of me, not because of you.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, Bobby. We both need to work on each other. We got to work on ourselves if we break up. Anyway. Animaniacs is great. I love it. I get why it's got such a polarizing reaction online. I mean, for God's sakes, Pinky and the Brain do an episode about Edward Snowden. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's so wild. It was everything I really wanted it to be. And it had so much potential to not live up to my expectations. And it's just really nice that it kind of did, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is a good example of like a reboot done well. Also one reboot song is so stuck in my head now.
Oh God. The music has been amazing. It's been so good. I mean, not good. It's been Animaniacs. Like this is what Animaniacs has always been. I love it. I really do enjoy it, but it's not the only thing I've been watching, Bobby. I'm sure we could, but this whole episode isn't just about Animaniacs. What else have you been checking out over the last couple of weeks? Cause it's, we skipped a week.
Yeah, we did skip a week. I mean, lately I've just been watching a lot of older stuff. I've been rewatching Ben 10. Yeah, because there's this YouTube channel that I watched an episode of, like, them talking about Ben 10. I'm like, I had never got that far into Ben 10, or, like, cared enough to get that far into Ben 10. So maybe I'll check it out again. So, yeah, I started with the first series.
Yeah, I definitely... I watched a little bit of it. I was early teens, I think, when it was on. So I still watched cartoons. I mean, I'm almost 30 and I still watch cartoons. But yeah, at that point I was starting to move on to other things, expanding my, you know, viewership. And I just, it didn't gravitate towards me either, but let me know what you think about it, man. Cause I think I'm right there with you. I never got that far into the series.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's made by, they're called Man of Action.
Man of Action, yeah.
Yeah, who, like, they're also responsible for that that Generator X show that came a little bit later.
Yeah.
And a lot of its founders are from, like, DC Comics and stuff. Actually, Dwayne McDuffie, creator of Static Shock, everyone, he created Ben 10. So, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's one of those, like, I kind of... It's got a good writing team behind it. And right from the get-go, you're like, yeah, this is... a lot better than most of the other shows at the time.
Oh yeah, I remember definitely it was a powerhouse of a show. We talk about that canonical, like, story-driven element. It did that. It knocked it out of the park. But really, because as I said, when the show was on, I was in my early teens. That was when I was a camp counselor for a little while during the summers, and I just remember that was when I realized, like, oh my gosh, like, this is like. It was almost like a Pokemon level of, like, fandom. Like, kids were nuts about Ben 10. Yeah. When I was a camp counselor. And that's,
yeah, they had the watches and the toys and all.
Yeah, figures, toys, everything, Happy Meal toys. And just, like, that was kind of when I developmentally in from my perspective realized, like, I can't base this solely on my opinion of this anymore. I have to base it on what the intended audience is reacting to it, which I still try to do nowadays. As I said earlier, I would like to know what kids think of Animaniacs, not just me, because my view is skewed.
Yeah. I mean, like, going back to Animaniacs a little, I had shown Animaniacs to, like, my niece and to the kids at a preschool I used to work at. Sure. But and they loved it. They thought it was great. And I showed that alongside things like Chippendale Rescue Rangers and Darkwing Duck at the time. And yeah, like, they ate it up.
Like, well, to quote South Park, there are only two kinds of kids in this world: kids who like Animaniacs and kids who don't.
Was that from South Park?
That is from South Park. Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know what you're referencing.
It's when Cartman gets arrested for a hate crime and has to get sent to juvenile detention. And he goes, and the all the kids in juvie who are, like, rough kids are like, so which one is it? And he's like, I don't like Animaniacs. Neither do we, but we still don't like you. Anyway, yeah, that's another South Park reference to show that's also just insanely old by now. So yeah, have you watched anything else?
No, that's been about it for me. Nothing like super, like, big and nerdy. It's been a busy couple weeks for me.
Well, I watched something a couple weeks ago. I watched it's new on Netflix. And it's, from what I've been hearing, kind of got a bit of a overnight cult following that I don't think Netflix or even the people involved sort of intended, but Auntie Donna's House of Fun.
Okay, I remember when that dropped, I did watch, like, the first episode, but that's it.
Yeah, just a couple weeks ago. So what did you, I mean, you I've never really been into like the Tim and Eric kind of Eric Andre sort of just over the top insane kind of comedy.
No,
what did you think of Auntie Donna?
But I think they do a better job of it. Like Tim and Eric to me is just too random.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they seriously have like no plot structure for the most part. Whereas Auntie Donna,
you're not the only person to say that exact same thing. Like I don't usually go for the Tim and Eric style of comedy, but this really spoke to me. Try watching. There's only like 6 episodes.
I think it's also because
I binge watched them all right away. What were you saying?
I think it's also because like the three guys to me are like a little. They're more charismatic, I feel, than Tim and Eric are.
I get that same vibe as well. It's a little more like I don't want to compare them to like Whitest Kids You Know, because Whitest Kids You Know, those members did a wide variety of roles. But I will compare them to like Human Giant or some of the other like comedy troupes or each member sort of had a role. They had like a way of emoting and a way of acting. So it's Mark Badano, Zach Roud, I think, and Broden Kelly. They're three guys. They're three Australian dudes. They've I guess been around for a really long time, and they were really kind of surprised that Netflix gave them the chance to do this special, and they're even more surprised of how successful it's been. And I guess now that it's been as successful on Netflix, back home in Australia, they're like the biggest deal now. And it literally happened over the course of a weekend, and their minds are kind of blown. But it's great. Like Ed Helms of The Hangover and The Office fame is a producer. Scott Aukerman from Comedy Bang Bang writes. Some people from College Humor work on the set as well. There are a lot of really low key underground comedy people who guest star, and it works really well.
In the very first episode, Kristen Schaal is like their dishwasher.
She is. She plays a dishwasher. Weird Al's in an episode too, because of course he is. He's in their Halloween special. Dude, it is. We've compared it to Tim and Eric like twice now. It's like that because I think anyone who hears Tim and Eric knows what that means. That was really the first example of this kind of comedy, this really insane sort of irreverent humor. I would almost compare it more to Comedy Bang Bang, but that's a little less known. That was Scott Aukerman and Reggie Watts' show.
Okay, yeah. But I know Reggie Watts. I can't think of who Scott Aukerman is.
He's a comedian guy. He hosted Comedy Bang Bang, which was also a podcast before it was a show. And I don't really think he's been in any like starring roles ever. But yeah, Reggie Watts kind of got his start on Comedy Bang Bang. Well, he did a couple of videos for College Humor way back in the day, but I'm getting off topic. But yeah, like the Whitest Kids You Know, like the mid 2000s sketch comedy, that's what Auntie Bang Bang is. Just really random, irreverent comedy where something will inevitably go insane at some point. But the thing is, they do it so much, they commit to it so hard, that they move past the point where the joke isn't funny and then keep going and then keep going, and then suddenly it becomes funny again. And it's amazing. And I'll say my favorite part of the show, I do think you should pick it up. If you like the first episode, you should keep watching it. There's an episode... Well, any episode where the bald one, Broden, does his Sean Connery voice is the best. And he does it in the first episode where it's like, everything's a drum. And then it's not a drum. And he's like, you're just playing it wrong. Try it again. It's like, you lied to me. There's an episode where he's playing Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay.
Yes, he's playing Ellen DeGeneres. And he's not even trying to be Ellen DeGeneres. he's just, it is me, television personality Ellen DeGeneres. You are right to applaud me. I'm dying, like dying watching him do this. The show is amazing. Like, I can't recommend it highly enough. Auntie Donna's House of Fun was hilarious. And I've been following some of their older stuff too. And it's much lower budget, but it's equally insane. That, and then I won't say too much about this because I'm only two episodes in, but my roommate got an Amazon Prime account. So we started watching The Boys.
Okay. I've been wanting to watch it so bad, as
amazing as everybody says it is. Oh my God. I'm only two episodes in. I know it gets way more fucked up the more it goes on. It's already pretty fucked up and it's great.
I'm going to have to steal your roommate's Amazon Prime.
You might have to steal my roommate's Amazon Prime. It's definitely, there's a reason Amazon's, like, when you think of Amazon Prime, you think of The Boys. It's there like Stranger Things. It's really good. And it is a platform, like, platform-winning streaming show, you know? It's so stupid good. And it is just incredibly well-written, because it is... I've been saying this a little bit. I've kind of come to the realization that the Avengers, as depicted in the MCU, are basically Team America World Police without the irony.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, fair enough.
The second Avengers movie, Age of Ultron, they literally start that movie with them riding incredibly expensive military vehicles with weapons of mass destruction, driving through a foreign nation, just shooting these weapons like freely into the crowd because they're fighting some vague terrorist enemy that's holed up in a very ancient, clearly historically significant castle in this country, right? And then they go back after they've done untold amounts of damage to this irreparable, irreplaceable castle, but got the bad guys. They fly back home to their penthouse tower in New York and drink martinis. That's literally a scene from Team America World Police. That literally happens in that movie.
It's just like, yeah, we did it. We saved France. And everyone just looks at them.
France, and they blow up the Eiffel Tower. Exactly. It's literally, the Avengers movies are Team America World Police with no sense of irony, with nobody getting the joke. And it's, yeah, like, I mean, Tony Stark creates Ultron, who destroys an entire city and kills countless people and faces literally zero consequences for it. No consequences. Right. Like, He
should have been arrested, man.
Thing, yeah. And then doesn't go to jail, doesn't pay any money, doesn't do anything. Like, it really is kind of the suspension of disbelief of these movies is really kind of detached. Like, it's out there, man. That's what The Boys really does really, really well. Like, how incredibly messed up, and if superheroes existed, it would be a capitalist nightmare. I'll say it. Like, you would have questions of superheroes in the military. You would have questions of superhero agencies. You would have questions of superhero corporate hierarchy, you know? Like the first episode, it deals with a superhero making it to the big leagues. She's a little girl from Iowa who's in the big city, and she's part of this world's Justice League. And within minutes, Aquaman, Harvey Weinstein's her, like full on casting character. Like,
yeah, you're talking about Limelight, right? Or that's her name.
Starlight is her name.
Starlight, yeah.
And their Aquaman is named the Deep, and he's such a fucking tool. But the most interesting thing, and I'm only two episodes in, so I don't want to discuss it too much because I know I'll bring it up more at length. Their Superman equivalent, who I know is just like a fucking, is like a monster, but at the point that I'm at, it's just kind of hinting at that. And the actor and the writing and the direction does it so well, because think about someone like Superman. Think about somebody who's literally indestructible, can destroy somebody by looking at them, can fly anywhere, can see through anything, can hear anything at any time. No one, like, I don't care if that person was raised in the most wholesome manner possible. nobody, no normal person in the room talking to this guy will ever be able to treat him like a normal human being. Because the knowledge that he could kill you by looking at you, by breathing too hard on you, will never be able to escape anyone else in that room. That would have such a effect on Superman. There's no way he wouldn't be a sociopath. There's no way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of my understanding of The Boys, because I know it's a comic, but I haven't read that either.
Yeah.
From what I've heard, more people talk about, like, the villains of that show, because the villains are The Boys, right?
Where I'm at right now, I don't know if they've called themselves The Boys, but it's basically a guy. It starts with a guy whose girlfriend takes one step off a curb.
And she gets ran into by the speedster, right?
Yeah, whose name is A-Train. And she just it evaporates in like a cloud of blood. And he... Most superhero-related accidents get swept under the rug. His didn't, because it happened in public. Like, this was actually, like, a public relations event. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like when an athlete gets caught for, like, doping or something. Because he's part of, like, their Justice League, right? So he doesn't take their check and sign their NDA right away. He doesn't want to do it right away. He needs some time to think about it. And this guy gets wind of that, and he's maybe ex-CIA, maybe ex-FBI. It's not determined yet. I know there's a lot of mystery about his character. But like I said, I'm only two episodes in. Well, he tracks him down and tells him to put a bug in the tower. Their invisible man finds it and then goes to this guy's place of work and kicks his fucking ass. But this CIA dude, played by Carl Urban, finds him, drives a car into him, beats up this invisible man guy, but he's seen both of them, so they have to take him to a safe house, put up some, like, lead lining so the Superman can't find him, and they have to figure out a way to kill this invisible man, whose skin is also, like, as hard as diamonds.
I think I know where you're going with this. I think I've heard of how they kill the invisible man.
Well, but it is a spoiler show. Do you want me to tell you?
Go for it.
They shove a bunch of plastic explosives up his ass.
Yep.
It's the only way they can do it.
They're like, we can't hurt him from the outside. So yeah. Gotta get it in him.
So right now there's only three guys. It's this dude, I think his name is
Butcher,
Huey,
right?
I think. Butcher, who's is his last name, his first name, we don't know. That's Carl Urban's character. And then Frenchie, who is this basically You need to dispose of a body. I'll dispose of this body for you. So we're only, like I said, I'm only two episodes in. The rest of the world is so well developed that the boys are at this point not even like the focus almost. Like the focus is how fucked up a world filled with superheroes would be. Yeah. You know, the main character is our world with a superhero would be a nightmare. And it's, I know that the momentum is building, like only two episodes in, they're already talking about like government contracts for military grade superheroes. The Homelander already blew up a plane carrying a governor of Baltimore, or the mayor of Baltimore on it. Like it's going to get really good. Everybody who says good stuff about the boys is not lying to you. I'll say that. But I don't want to get too. I've already gotten so invested. I do this because I know I'm going to talk about it more when I finish the series. But anyway, I just want to share.
How about when you finish season one? We'll get more spoiler on that. Okay.
We will. For 100%. I just wanted to let the world know that I started watching The Boys. And it's amazing. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I've been watching, man. And that's awesome. That's what we're at. And it's a pretty good point because we are a little before the halfway point here, which is usually when we start talking about the news of the world. You got a couple stories you want to take a crack at?
I do, yeah. And a couple of our news stories involve like kind of multiple topics with them. So it's a good thing that we kind of have a little more time. So the first thing I want to talk about is earlier this month, and I actually think it was actually late October, but Capcom was hacked.
Yeah, you were saying before we start, I hadn't heard of this. So what does that entail?
So they were hacked and all of their information, including, you know, some financial, like personal things, like were divulged, but the things that we're kind of more caring about are the news that of some upcoming projects they were working on, which is quite a bit.
So sorry for anybody who lost their financial information, but hey, we get to talk about upcoming Marvel or Capcom games. That's fun.
Yeah, yeah. As sad as that sounds, but like, I mean, so it is the hack is what did they call it here? They called it a recent. I'm not seeing what it's called, but
A name for it, like Capcom Gate or something.
No, like the name of the hack specifically, a ransom hack.
Ransomware hack. Okay.
Yeah, so they took all their information and they're putting Capcom on, you know, they're giving them a ransom for it all. Ooh. But they've already leaked out, like, here are a bunch of the things they were working on to prove that we are serious.
Yeah, you gotta mail them a finger of the kidnappee to show them that you mean business. They did that in The Big Lebowski.
Exactly, yeah. So so everything's divided out by quarters and what year. We're talking from 2021 to 2024. Oh, but yeah. Here's the list of games that are rumored to be coming.
Play it on me.
Resident Evil Outrage.
Ooh.
That's the first thing coming out in 2021.
I'm intrigued.
Right? And then Dragon's Dogma 2 in 2022.
I did hear about that. I don't know if it was from this leak or if Capcom actually like hinted at it, but I did hear a rumor about Dragon's Dogma 2, which makes sense because it was a fairly popular game that didn't do terribly, and it has a show on Netflix that's pretty okay.
Exactly, right? Like, now's kind of the time to do it, especially with next gen, like now happening.
And with their Monster Hunter movie that's coming out, that just looks ridiculous, by the way, but I know I'm going to see it. I know I'm gonna see it though. Dragon's Dogma might actually translate even better to a 2-hour film than it would to a Netflix series, so I wouldn't mind seeing that either.
Yeah
All right. No, honestly, it was a very dark and gothic game, and the show was very colorful and anime and over the top, but I would really like to see like a sort of Game of Thrones tinted kind of Dragon's Dogma adaptation. Honestly,
do they drop Dragon's Dogma already? The show?
Oh yeah, it's on Netflix. Have you watched it yet?
No, I haven't. I guess I'm gonna have to now.
Yeah, it's very, very Berserk reminiscent. I'll say you'll clearly get Berserk vibes when you watch it. I'll tell you that much.
All right. So moving on, we got Street Fighter VI.
Nice.
Yep. We
probably could assume that they were working on another Street Fighter.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was definitely coming. So yeah, that's set to come out in 2022, and then. But in addition, a Super Street Fighter 6 and an Ultra Street Fighter 6 later on.
Wow.
Yeah, those are part of this.
So why buy Street Fighter 6 when you know that you've got two other versions coming out later?
Exactly.
That is a substantial leak for them. Jesus.
For real. Rockman Match, which Rockman. For those of you that don't know, Rockman is Mega Man in the U.S.
Oh, okay. So... Oh, yeah. All right. Because it's rock and roll. I get it.
Yeah.
We had this conversation because Mega Man came out in that weird period where Japan was crazy about American rock music.
Yep. So him and his sister were named Rock and Roll, respectively. Yeah. And instead of his name turning into Mega Man in Japanese, they just call him Rock Man.
That's interesting. That's an interesting fact. I know I've probably heard that before, but I'm sure the listeners would appreciate that bit of lore. Anyway, so yeah, so new Mega. So wait, hold up. New Mega Man game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that is awesome.
Mega Man 11 came out like what, 2 or 3 years ago now. So like, yeah, we're about due. But it is called Rockman Match, which has a lot of people being like, okay, is it a sequel or is it a weird spinoff?
Like a Mega Man fighting game.
Exactly. Which would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Marvel vs. Capcom. He's been in like all the Marvel vs. Capcoms, right?
I mean, except for 3.
Because he was too busy being in Super Smash Bros.
No, not even by that point. No, yeah, oh. In Ultimate 3, they just replaced him with Zero.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. Which, whatever. Wait, anyway. Anyways,
so, yeah, you got enough Mega Man characters to do a fighting game, though, for sure.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Especially if you start pulling from the other Mega Mans. Like, you got Classic, you have the X Series, you have the Zero and the NT Warriors. Like, you have plenty.
Well, every one of them's got, like, every Mega Man game has at least, like, what, 12 bosses that are unique and distinct? Like, you could fill out a fighting game, no problem.
For sure.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. Was there more? Are you done yet?
Oh, no. Not even close.
Oh, my God.
We got a Resident Evil 4 remake, which, duh. An Onimusha.
Oh!
Yeah. There hasn't been a new Onimusha game since the PS2 era.
Yeah, I was about to ask. It's been years.
Yeah,
that was one
of
the biggest games on the PS2.
Yeah, I love the Onimushas. I own every single one of them, except for they made a remake of the first one on the PS4. I don't own that one, but...
I remember Jean Renault from The Professional was in one of them. Because like the main guy in Onimusha was like based off a Japanese actor. Yep. So they got... For one of them, they got Jean Renault, French actor, most famous for being in The Professional with Natalie Portman. what was it? I remember that so well. I had never seen the movie. I just remember hearing about that on X-Play. I haven't thought about the Onimusha games in so long. I don't think I ever really played them in any meaningful capacity. I probably played, like, demos and stuff.
I was a
teenager. I can play M-rated games. I would really be interested in, like, checking that out, honestly, you know?
Well, yeah, if you haven't played the Onimusha games, they were originally kind of pitched to be feudal Resident Evil. So a lot of the control schemes are kind of mapped out, like, what classic Resident Evil was. And then eventually it became its own thing. Like,
it's like samurais fighting demons, right?
Right, exactly.
And I think in at least one of the games, there's, like, time travel, right?
Yep, that's the one that Jean Renault is in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because what would he be doing, like, in feudal Japan?
Yeah, he's from, like, modern-day France, so the two of them swap places.
I wonder what Jean Renault is doing right now. Probably not much. Anyway.
Probably just being French somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah,
all
probably.
Right. Anyways, in 2023, the first game of 2023 will be Monster Hunter 6.
Yeah,
you need that.
so not Monster Hunter World, because that's I'm assuming is still going to have minor updates for probably a few more years. But Monster Hunter 6 would just be the next Monster Hunter game.
Yeah,
I would assume, because unless it's Monster Hunter World 2, I would figure that.
Yeah. Then we got Biohazard Apocalypse, which Biohazard is the Japanese name for Resident Evil.
I knew that.
So then we got Final Fight, a remake.
Final Fight, yeah, I've heard of that. Is that just a fighting game?
No. So Final Fight is a like a side scroller beat 'em up game.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
damn,
that's the one that, like,
man.
Mike Hagar and Cody are from.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. I am remembering that now. They were they were in Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah, Mike Hagar was in that, and then Cody, actually both of them, have been folded into, like, the Street Fighter games. So, yeah, and that's where, like, Poison, if you guys have played Street Fighter, that's what she's from.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, sure, that's something. So, well, obviously we probably don't know whether it's going to retain its side-scrolling nature or not, but that's interesting.
It does say it's a remake, so it might just be that, but, like, updated and look, like, just shiny as hell.
I like that there's a lot of... I mean, some people are detractors, obviously. I like that video games are getting remade, you know? I do like... Frankly, retro gaming is very difficult. It is very difficult for a lot of people to pay attention to older, outdated graphics and gameplay, you know? And, not only... will younger audiences be able to relive these games and learn the lore of a lot of these characters that have been around for years. But also, I find myself more willing to dive back in and reinvest time with these. You know, I'm sure I'm upsetting some people by saying that, but I am not opposed to remakes of classic games. Not at all.
Yeah. No, not at all. Like, I
and
just,
as someone who's never played Final Fight, I might actually dig into this, you know?
Well, I tried to play my PS2 earlier this week, yeah. And I was like, man, these games that I loved as a kid do not age well, man.
it's the curse, man. It's just our curse. The yeah. curse of age.
For real, though. Anyways, there's two more.
Brief candle. All of life is but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then it's heard no more. It's from Macbeth, Bobby. That was Shakespeare.
I'm sorry, I wasn't like an actor. I couldn't tell you what Macbeth is. Like,
it's easy to forget sometimes. Anyway,
but anyway,
because we got some more.
We got three games left. All right, a Power Stone remake.
Power Stone, what's that?
On the Sega Dreamcast, it was the Dreamcast, the one that failed. Yeah, on that one, it is a arena fighter where, yeah, you pick a character and you, like, throw boxes at each other, punch each other, throw fireballs and crap. Like,
wow.
The fighting game community loved it, but it's one of those, like, it was on a not popular system.
Yeah, so it makes sense that it's on the Dreamcast, because I have never heard of this game.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So that's got a lot of people talking, because, like I said, the fighting game community loves it.
Sure. Like, sure.
Cool. But and the last two are Captain Commando, who I never played his game, but I know him as a character from Marvel vs. Capcom.
I was going to say, yeah, that name sounds familiar, but I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, and something called Resident Evil Hank.
Resident Evil Hank?
Yeah. Like,
who in Resident Evil is named Hank? Is
that Hank? No, not that I know of.
I'm not an uber fan of Resident Evil. I don't remember very much of the story, I'm sorry to say. I don't remember any Hank at all. Was he in one of the movies or something? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he's from, like, the very first game or something. Or maybe it's a brand new character.
Hashtag who is Hank?
Hashtag who is Hank?
Hashtag who is Hank? Oh, my gosh. So that's all of them, though.
That's right? All of them. Yep, that's all of them. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of big titles coming back. Some
the implication also that these hackers are holding Capcom for ransom would imply that they have more stuff that they can leak to the public as well.
Right. This is like the least damaging stuff we can leak to you guys, but it's to show we're serious.
Wow. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Well, good news. There's a lot of fun remakes of games coming out anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. In any case, well, let's move right along to what's the next topic on the docket of discussion.
The Video Game Awards are happening.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, so I think we should talk about some of the, like, big games that are, like, on the docket.
Yeah, we did an episode about the Emmys, so why not? I mean, it makes sense to do one about the Video Game Awards. Yeah, pull that up, man.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to go through some of the ones, like, best performance by an actor, stuff like that. Like, we're going to skip past those ones and just move on to the games in general.
Sure.
All right. So, the best indie games. Carrion. Yep. Fall Guys.
Hades. Yeah, I've heard a lot of love for Hades.
Yeah. Spelunky 2 and Spiritfarer.
Yeah, I don't know, man. There's so much buzz about Hades, but I feel like I've heard a little bit about Carrion as well. And I played Fall Guys like once. It's still on my PS4. I'm sure I'll one of these days do a couple matches again. Fall Guys is a delight. It's an absolute delight.
I feel like very Fall Guys will get that one.
I just hear
more about it. Anyways, best action games. We got Doom Eternal.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Hades again. Half-Life Alyx.
I didn't even know there was another Half-Life game out.
Yeah, but it's not 3.
Am I out of touch? Oh, my gosh.
Neo 2 and Streets of Rage 4.
I know Neo. And I didn't know there was another Streets of Rage game either. I'm out of touch, Bobby. Jesus.
Yeah, same though. I've only played Doom Eternal of the ones on this list. So I guess I have to give it to that. But
I'm embarrassed to admit I haven't played Doom Eternal yet.
Really?
I know. I love it more than anybody. I haven't played it yet. I know. I have Doom VR. I do not have Doom Eternal. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
All right. I will play it at some point, but I don't know when.
Yeah. All right. Best action adventure game. Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah, that's going to win.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla is going to win.
Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Valhalla is probably going to win.
Ori and the Will-O-Wisps.
Man, that's our friends in that one.
Yeah,
but Assassin's
I know.
Creed Valhalla is going to win.
Yeah.
Brian, be in the next Assassin's Creed movie if you want to be in a award-winning video game. You know, get into Assassin's Creed. That's all I'm saying.
Last of Us Part 2.
Oh, that might win.
And then Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, Last of Us Part 2 or Assassin's Creed might win. All of those are great. I mean, that's going to be tough. But Last of Us and Assassin's Creed, there have been movies that have got less hype than those two games, man.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, certainly Spider-Man's great. Ori and the Blind Forest is amazing. I haven't played the second one yet, but I'm sure it's wonderful. Yeah, all of those are great games, but I got to give it to those two, yeah.
I haven't played any of these games yet. I am replaying the first Spider-Man before I get into Miles Morales. But yeah, I would say The Last of Us Part 2, although I know, like, a lot of people complain that story was, like, apparently the story is super divisive. You either love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just move on to the next thing. The best role-playing games. Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Persona 5 Royale.
Ooh, yeah.
Genshin Impact? I don't know that one.
It's new. I haven't played anything. I don't really know anything about it, but it's a super weeby kind of anime girl game. I don't know what it's about or what the gameplay is like. I just know it's got anime girls on the cover.
Oh, sold. Wasteland 3.
Don't know that one.
Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Oh, yeah. I'd probably give the nose to Final Fantasy, right?
It's either Final Fantasy or Persona 5. Persona 5, like, everyone just gushes about that game.
Anyone who's played it, but everybody knows Final Fantasy. More people know about Persona than ever before, but still not as many people that know Final Fantasy. So that's why I would give the edge to Final Fantasy. But I didn't play Royal. I did play Persona 5. I didn't beat it because that game is massive, but it's great. It's so good. It's really good.
All right. Yeah. All right. Best fighting game. Grand Blue Versus. Don't know it.
I don't know it well, but I've heard of it. Grand Blue is not a new title, but this is the newest like installment in it.
Sure. Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, it's Mortal Kombat. Street Fighter V Champion Edition. One Punch Man, a hero nobody knows.
I did know that he had a fighting game, sure.
Okay, so real quick tangent about the One Punch Man game. No, but you know the whole gimmick about One Punch Man where like he can kill any enemy with one punch.
With one punch, yeah.
Right. So the way they have it arranged in that game for that to work, because it's a 3-on-3 fighter.
Okay.
So if you pick One Punch Man on your team, you still get two other slots, but he does not join your team right away. You have to be able to stall your opponent for, I think, 2 whole minutes. But then once he comes out, he can just, like, one-shot, like, anyone your opponent has.
So So if you select him on your team, you've effectively chosen two players.
Right. You're going in at a disadvantage, and if you're able to hold off for like 2 minutes, then you can win. But
I can't put into words accurately how intrigued I am by that concept.
Right. Well, and that's just a good way of keeping in character. Yeah.
Wow.
All right, wow. And the last game is called Under Night In Birth EXE.
Don't know that one at all. But yeah, between Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, you'd have to give the edge to them. But wouldn't it be wild if, like, if One Punch Man came from behind and snagged that win?
Just one punched them all, yeah. Totally.
And One Punch Man just one punched the awards, man. All the awards go to One Punch Man.
All right. Best family games, Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Yeah, that's going to win.
Totally. It's the best-selling game on the Switch right now.
It's you don't need to say the rest of them, man. Animal Crossing New Horizons is going to win.
All right. I'll just go through them, though. We got Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time.
Aww. It would be nice if that one went, but it's not.
Yeah. Fall Guys. Yeah. Mario Kart Live Home Circuit, which we've talked about. So. I want it so bad, but...
Sure. It does sound really fun.
Yeah. Minecraft Dungeons and Paper Mario The Origami King.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of fine competitors, right? But how can Animal Crossing New Horizons not win? How can it not? That would be like Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild being nominated for something and not winning.
Like, right.
It's just not going to happen.
Animal Crossing was too big of a deal this past year to
not win. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was the perfect time. Like a pandemic. Everybody was at home. It couldn't have come at a better time for somebody to have a game about just living your life, doing normal stuff, you know?
Right.
As sad as that sounds, I honestly think that was a huge part of why it was so successful.
Yeah. The last one we'll just get through is the best esports game, which are Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Counter-Strike.
Game?
What?
That's a sports game?
Esports.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so a competitive game. Sorry. Best esports game. Yeah. Then we got Counter-Strike Global Offensive. Fortnite. Then League of Legends and Valorant? I don't know that one. Overwatch isn't in it this time. Which I kind of find interesting.
It's been a while. Overwatch is kind of an old game, man. It's almost like, what, 5 years old by now?
Yeah, but it still gets regular updates and everything. And that's one of the other categories here. It's being like, these aren't just games that were released this past year. It's all the games still being played this year.
Yeah, weird.
So I'm wondering, obviously there was that whole like China thing that Overwatch had to deal with.
Maybe
that's just killed their gaming audience. I'll admit I barely touch it ever anymore. Yeah.
I mean, I never even played it as much as you do. One of these days I'm sure I'll get back on Overwatch, but yeah, I'm not a first person shooter guy, and I thought Overwatch was going to be the game that changed that for me. And to its credit, it did it more so than any other first person shooter game has. Well, other than Doom. I fucking love Doom. Doom is hardly even a first person shooter game, though. You can rip people apart in that game. But
that's an action game. Yeah,
it just kind of got tedious doing the same thing every time, you know.
Well, and then that game sucks, especially for new players nowadays, because it would be like, you try to get in, and then you're playing with these people who have played it from day one.
Yeah, we call that the creep, you know, just the people that just get progressively good, you know, and it's tougher for new players to get in. And all the updates just make it kind of overwhelming for new players to start, too, you know?
Yeah. Anyway. But anyways, there are lots of other categories, best sports game, best voice acting in a video game, and other things like that, but those are just kind of the big ones that we wanted to focus on, because I kind of figured those were the ones that we've played.
Yeah.
At least a little.
No, right on. No, rightfully so. We are well past the 50-minute mark. We probably have time for maybe one more short news story if you want to go for it.
Sure, sure. Let's talk about a movie that's going to come out. Hell yeah. Well, that's going to start coming out. Predator 5 is going to happen.
Predator 5.
Yeah. So, yeah, Disney's 20th Century Studios.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. they are getting the director of 10 Cloverfield Lane, Dan Trachtenberg.
Didn't see that one. Heard really good things about it.
Yeah. So he's directing, and they have the writer Patrick Aysen, who's best known for TV, but he did Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, Kingdom, mm-hmm. and Treadstone.
Okay.
He's the head writer on it.
Well, okay. Oh, all right. So I know Jack Ryan is like a military action show, you know? Which is that's always been Predator, you know? Yeah, it's Tom Clancy, right? That's always been Predator. That's always been Predator's MO. Cloverfield Lane looked like it was a very psychological movie. You know, a sci-fi movie, but very mostly about the psychology of the characters. Which Predator has not really been about, at least not very successfully. So that is actually sounds like a very interesting combination. It's still really weird hearing Disney's Predator.
But right.
This has to be the first Predator movie Disney's released, right?
It will be. It will be the first Predator movie. And earlier in one of our other podcasts, we talked about Aliens they're bringing back as well, because those were both in the merger. So like they're it's both happening.
In the merger. Like, yeah, my gosh, it's really happening, Bobby.
Yeah,
this is we're gonna have to go forward with this now. I'm scared, but you know, a little bit of anticipation too.
I do find it interesting that it's that they're keeping the 20th Century Studios as like an entity and not just absorbing it completely, and maybe they'll use 20th Century Studios to kind of be like, this will be where our more mature things come out on.
Yeah, that'd be smart, you know, because we have talked about what do you release to Disney Plus? Like, well, if they have a subcategory on Disney Plus for 21st century, you know, that problem solved. You can release so much incredibly graphic shit onto Disney Plus if you have, like, because Netflix has the adult section and the kids only section, like Disney Plus / They do kind of divide Disney Plus up in like categories like that. You know what I mean? Well, maybe just a couple of their titles are just not in the available in the family section, you know?
Yeah. Well, and this would even kind of open up the doors on things like obviously there's talks going on right now about Deadpool being integrated into the MCU, but a lot of people don't want him to be, you know, watered down. It's like, well, here's the solution. It's just put out by 20th Century Studios.
Yeah.
As opposed to being put out by Disney.
That's totally possible. It's like what they do with Spider-Man and Sony, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The there is no formula where Disney isn't going to make the money, so why do they care what the name on the front of the package is, you know what I mean?
Right. Which, like, yeah, that's so whatever. Like, and Disney's done that forever. Like, they had Touchstone Media Studios, whatever it was called.
For real. Dude, they released the original recording of The Great Malenko by the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah, see, exactly.
That was a subsidy owned by Disney, recorded and released that album. Nobody knows that. Like, Disney owns everything. This is not new. It's just bigger than ever now.
Yeah.
And kind of dystopian. Anyway. So yeah, that'll be really interesting. Like, obviously, I think people listening to this show, by now, our 16th episode, anyone listening should probably have the idea that I am a huge fan of the Alien and Predator franchise. So I will watch it. I will watch these movies. Yeah. But I can't tell you, I'm not a little bit scared, but a little bit excited.
I wonder who they're going to get to be in it. I'm going to always be like, you know, give Michael B. Jordan more work.
I could totally see him in that kind of role, you know?
For sure, at least as one of the soldiers. He doesn't have to be the main one.
But could be anybody, dude. Pedro Pascal from Mandalorian, you know? He'd do great.
Yeah.
He'd totally do great.
Just, there's no, like, celebrity nowadays who's, like, as physically jacked as like Schwarzenegger was.
Hell no, dude. Chris Hemsworth, man.
Oh,
you've seen those photos that are breaking the internet, right?
Not
him,
recently,
like, lifting cars?
What? No, I haven't. I'm going to have to look them up.
Well, no, it's like, you know, those tough, muscly guys who flip over like tractor tires?
Yeah.
It was like a picture of him doing that, and he's like yoked, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised. He was already like stupid jacked.
Yeah. When there is a comparison between you and your younger brother, Liam Hemsworth, on like the jacked one and the skinny but still in shape one, like, you're already in better shape than you deserve to be.
Yeah.
Like, now he's like, oh, Jesus, dude. Like, this is Hulk Hogan, man. Yeah, no, check it out. Well, you'll have a fun time ogling Chris Hemsworth, but we got to call it there, Bobby. That has been this episode of The Digital Graveyard. As always, we would like to thank John Wheeler and Sam Dunn for the use of our amazing theme song. We'd like to thank Eric Castellanos, or The Dapper Skull, for our logo. And what's this? Our Digital Graveyard t-shirts. Yes. I'm saving it right now. I didn't even tell Digital. This is he's finding out for the first time now. As of the uploading of this episode, we should officially have Digital Graveyard t-shirts available on the Dapper Skulls Etsy page. We will have a link available from the Facebook page. And yeah, you can, you know, maybe give us money if you want to. It's totally up to you. We're not going to pressure you or anything, but that's okay too. You can also just like, share, and subscribe on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, not Instagram, because I think that would be really boring if we had an Instagram account. Available for listening on Audio Boom, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and some other ones. Probably we're trying to get on iTunes. We're working on it. Bobby, would you like to say anything else?
I'm just so excited to finally get one of these shirts, man. Like,
yeah, man, you've been going shirtless for so long. Now you can finally have a shirt.
Yeah, now I can have a shirt that encompasses all my nerdiness.
Yeah, well, we'll catch you next time. Bobby, play us out.
Dun, 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 dun.
You're getting better. You're getting better at it.
I'm getting better.
All right, we'll catch you next time.